Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
The podcast.
Hello, good morning. Welcome to the show. Fletch, Vaughn and Laura.
Morning.
What are we clapping for?
Effort. Effort.
Are you talking about the cricket?
The Black Caps.
We don't talk about that, do we?
Are we not talking about it?
Certainly not, because I started my day at 2:30 this morning. So
what time
if
did
you want to stay on board with this steamship, I reckon you just...
Avoid.
Just avoid.
What time did you get to bed last night?
It is about 11.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because
I guess you couldn't, like, you couldn't not watch it, otherwise your husband, Martin Gupta, would be like, hey, what about the cricket? Did you watch when I did this? And you'd be like... Yep.
I was actually asleep. Totally.
I'd wake up. This is the Vaughn Smith way of getting around things.
Okay.
You wake up with like a little bit to go and you've mice guided it and then you just watch it on 30 speed.
Oh,
maybe
okay.
Sit down for 6 speed right, when he's out there.
Yeah, okay.
How long was he out there for?
Did
he do okay?
He got 15. He did 15. Okay.
15, okay. That's actually one run more than Vaughn Smith's high runs
Ever.
From my highest days of cricket.
And at high school.
I scored 3 fours.
Wow.
3 fours.
You hit 3 fours.
So this is how it happened. Mr. Pickett took me out to the local primary school.
Yeah.
And he taught me the pull shot. Now am I right?
Can you reenact this for me?
You go onto your back.
And
yep,
you pull
like
up.
That.
Pull shot.
Pull
that
nice.
Is the pull shot. Wait a minute, what's this one?
Your back.
That's a cut.
It was definitely a pull. No, I can't remember now. Anyway, it involved me going into my back foot. 3 nights of the week, Mr. Pickett took me up to the local school and taught me the pull shot. So then that Saturday at intermediate cricket, I did 3 pull shots and then a boundary off each.
And then you played across the line 1 too many times.
No, I I ran the other guy out. I was like, pull shot. Oh, God, it's not as big as the other ones. Run! He's like, don't run. I was like, I've already started.
And he just sold your teammate
and
up.
And that was the end of my cricketing career.
Pretty proud of that.
The
shame was just too much, was it?
It was a big show.
A big show today. A whole lot of guests joining us on the show today. Sam Neill, Taika Waititi, to talk about their new movie, which is out today and looks amazing.
Hunt for the Wilder People. Everybody we know that went to the premiere last night has been raving about it online, apparently. An instant Kiwi classic, like Boy was. An instant Kiwi classic.
So they're in this morning just after 7 and joining us on the phone from Breaking Bad and the new show.
The Path.
Aaron Paul.
And you might be wondering why I've got a whiskey decanter.
Yeah.
Harvey Specter is in studio.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
3 headlines. You've got to pick one. Headline 1, man on death row dies of natural causes. Headline 2, man avoids chicken bag fee. And headline 3, naughty nurse.
That's all it says, naughty nurse.
Naughty
That's
nurse.
It. That's it.
Lock
naughty nurse.
How very alluring. Yes, naughty
lock
nurse.
Lock in for 3.
Yeah, we've locked it. You've got a double
good
lock.
Nurse. It was pretty quick. Naughty nurse.
Pass me the whiskey and let's do this.
Wasn't there a stat on how many people have naughty nurse outfits? It's a lot, isn't it?
Is it
because we did those naughty nurse parties way back in the day and everyone just had a costume?
What happened to naughty nurse parties? Why don't people do those anymore?
The medical professional stood up and said this is inappropriate. You don't see us having slutty secretary parties or...
yeah,
or
that's true.
Or, you know, suited... I can't think of a...
Sexy accountant parties.
Sexy accountant parties.
Well, you just were a calculator.
You want me to tabulate your lost GST, do you? Well, get me a roll of paper from the stationery cupboard and we'll see what we can do.
All right, we go to New York and this story probably not as... interesting maybe as you thought or sexy as you thought, but a 27-year-old New York hospital nurse has been convicted and has lost her job after taking a photo of a unconscious man's genitals.
What?
Oh my.
She took her own back.
She took a photo of...
Yeah, so this guy was obviously either after an operation or was during an operation, was out. And she was like...
So she just went, whoop.
Must have either been really good or really weird.
Right, okay.
Or famous.
True.
You ever think about that, do you?
What happens?
Because Megan's just been in for that hip operation.
Nah.
And, like, you'd have to wear no undies.
Yeah.
And then have to take it all off for the operation. knickers, sorry.
Yeah.
No, you can call them undies or knickers. It's just the idea of lying on a table with your knicks off and there's a whole lot of people standing around you going,
I mean, they're professionals, but...
Yeah. They sign an oath and stuff. Well, yeah, they have to look.
It's the region.
It's the yeah.
I don't think that. No offense to Megan, but I don't think when you're kind of cut at the hip.
Yeah. No.
That's a sexy time to be checking out anybody's nether regions, personally.
Well, anyway, well, she's been found to have broken the law and has had to surrender her license. So cannot be a nurse anymore, is probably a good thing.
Fair enough.
Considering she was snapping people's jennies.
Wow.
While they were out cold.
No word why she took it.
No, that's
who
the thing.
Who did she send it to and how did she get caught? Do you have those details?
No, that's the thing. Very, very limited on the details in this news story that I've found.
I'd love.
But yeah, I'm pretty
sure. Send it around, or does she accidentally like reply all to a hospital wide email?
It was either really bad or really good.
Have a look at this thing.
Exactly. Yeah. It's either embarrassing or really
not embarrassing.
Really not great. Yeah, exactly.
Like almost, she launched an advertising campaign, advertising campaign for his gym.
Let's definitely move on.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
ZM.
You might remember a couple of days ago we talked about a guy called Dean from Hawke's Bay. He was in a sports fishing club competition.
Yeah, former police detective.
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
True. And he caught a 136 kg marlin, which is massive. Marlin. There's a photo of the marlin.
Huge, like taller than a person, eh? Yeah. I saw the photo. It's like tall, longer than
a person is tall, yeah. Do you include the beak in the measurement?
The beak, isn't it? Do they call it a beak? It's a big pointy thing. It's a
pointer.
It's a sword.
Beak. Yeah, okay, sword.
Because a marlin is different to a swordfish, which is different to a sailfish. But they all look similar, don't they? I don't know.
I've got to get outdoors
with Jeff more often.
Yeah. I have no idea.
I've got to get outdoors. So anyway, this is one day going to turn into one of those Audi winter theatres that they have on Sunday night.
Montana
Sunday night theatre. What a wonderful piece of New Zealand history.
Why'd they let that sponsorship slip? They run out of money, Montana.
Montana? Mm. No, they probably just moved on to targeting people who drink more booze on a Sunday night.
Right, okay.
Students.
Sometimes those Sunday Montanas would lead you to drink, though.
A Sunday Montana. Yeah, one Sunday Montana on television equals six Sunday Montanas in the lounge room while watching.
Right.
But it just keeps getting crazier and crazier. He had to take a polygraph test, and he failed the certain aspects of the polygraph test. And he really wants this Isuzu Ute, apparently.
It's the big prize.
It was a $48,000 prize. That's not a top of the line Isuzu, is it?
No, because
those D-Maxes that the crowd goes wild guys drive that are downstairs at work.
They take up all that room.
They take up like 2.5 parks. That's Andrew Mulligan.
Always denting your door, aren't they, when they get out.
And his other car's a Land Rover. How much room on the road do you need, Mel?
What is he overcalled?
Yeah, What's going on, buddy? You've only got one kid. You really can't have that much stuff to take around. So, I don't know. This isn't even a top of the line. I think it's almost become a matter of principle for these guys now.
But do Isuzu have anything to do with this? It's that they're using prize money to buy an Isuzu. It's like, Isuzu surely don't want this bad publicity. They'd rather probably just give this guy a ute.
I feel that Isuzu are being... Are we saying that right? Because I grew up saying Isuzu.
Isuzu.
Isuzu, but now I say Isuzu.
Say it fast.
Yeah, I don't know.
Suzu. I would almost, if I was an Isuzu, be like, look, we'll give you the
So the latest...
They are being unfairly dragged into it.
The latest is that now they're asking the friends...
Yes.
...that were on the boat also to take a lie detector test.
Yes.
There were 11 questions in this polygraph test, and they were asked 3 times each. How crazy is that? So I guess they ask you 3 times and then take the average?
Right.
So they're just pepper you with questions?
Yeah.
So I don't even
know what the 11 questions were.
Are they like, you were born in June? Yes.
Yes.
Is your mother's name Deirdre? Yes. Did you haul in that fish for realsies?
No. I mean, yes.
Yes. No. Oh,
God, there goes the Isuzu. But that's the thing, because as a liar, sometimes I get a little wound up in a lie and you just have to live the lie and hope no one can prove you wrong.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen to that. No paper trail, no guilty.
No conviction. So all eyes.
Yeah.
Where's the marlin? In someone's chest freezer?
Were they allowed
to cut that up and smoke it?
There's a photo. Just give them the ute. Who cares?
No one's entering this sports fishing competition next year, by the way.
To be honest, I think it might have been
canned. It's gone.
It has to.
Because, yeah, everybody's like, what's the prize? And they're like, oh, a $500,000 Bentley? Oh, yeah, well, no one's winning
and a court
that.
Case.
Yeah. 6 months of having your fine name dragged through the muck because you caught an amazing fish.
The Fletch, Vaughn and Megan podcast.
New York School of Medicine and a person from there, Philip Tierno, has released a list of the disgusting bacteria and things found on people's bed sheets. So they've tested a whole lot of people's bed sheets.
Yeah.
And this is what they found. And then he recommends how often you should change your sheets. So, fungi, bacteria, soil, sweat.
But this is at a microscopic level.
What do you
like a fungal spores? That'd be everywhere.
What's sputum?
Oh, sputum.
Is that like
sputum?
Sputum.
Sputum. What's that?
Tell me how to spell it.
Sputum. The genital juice.
The mixture of saliva and mucus coughed up from the respiratory tract.
Okay, there's vaginal juice, poo, urine, and skin.
Vaginal juice, is that that Mexican hot sauce?
It is, sriracha? Yeah, yeah.
Don't Mexico put it directly on the table.
So that is what can all be found on sheets and what has been found during testing.
Yeah, we're talking microscopically. We sleep in that. We're more or less making ourselves a sausage roll of bacteria every time we get into bed. We cover ourselves with a nice warm. We're warm in our beds, so we're perspiring a little bit more. This should be a surprise.
I'm finding it's that weird time of the year where it's too hot to have the duvet on, but it's too cold just to have a sheet.
Yeah.
And then so, like, I put the duvet on, and then this morning I woke up, I was quite sweaty. Oh. He's saying in the study, you sweat 100 litres of sweat a year.
Oh, good
in
God.
Bed.
Yeah, but this guy's a panic merchant.
Right,
this guy's
okay.
a panic merchant. So what's 100, you say, litres?
Yeah.
Divided by
365
nights.
Yep.
Is 100 litres, you say?
Yep.
It's 0.2 litres a night.
Right,
so 200
mils. That's a lot. Which that's like half a glass.
Yeah, but over your whole entire body. Imagine half a glass of water and it's on your whole entire body, most of which would be absorbed.
Wouldn't even wet your hair.
Nah.
Nah, and you shouldn't
leave it. It'd leave you thirsty.
Well, he's saying that you should change your sheets every week.
But what about that study that came out that was in the Herald the other day about if you just leave your sheets not made, you don't make your bed, it just gives it a chance to breathe.
Right, it changes it.
That just sounds like someone who doesn't make their bed in the morning is an excuse.
That was a hell of an excuse.
The medical student, but from the Otago University. Living on Castle Street, not a medical student from a distinguished New York medical school.
Sure.
The Fletch, Vaughn and Megan podcast.
Jessie J, the singer, posted a photo on Instagram that I thought were, a video on Instagram that I found rather amusing. She was on the Harry Potter ride in Harry Potter World.
Where's Harry Potter World?
England.
It's just out of London.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Because not even J.K. Rowling could afford enough property in London to build a theme park.
And they're building one in America too, aren't they?
But they're tagging that onto Warner Brothers.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
They're tagging that onto the already existing Warner Brothers lot,
Studios.
I think.
Studios.
Or maybe taking some old aspect of that and...
Right, okay.
And revitalising it with the Harry Potter world. She was on a ride with her phone because she said she wanted to document everything for her niece, who's a massive Harry Potter fan.
Yeah.
And they shut down the ride, mid-ride, because they saw that she had her phone out. And of course, if she drops that, it could smack somebody or smack herself or...
Well, yeah, because you drop when you're doing a loop on a roller coaster and it heads back into the back and smashes someone in the face.
Yeah. It's like vomit,
ouch.
Except more smashy in the face.
Yeah.
Actual damage.
If you caught her, because what do you... I've got a feeling she might be a six-plusser.
Yeah,
or a big Samsung.
Oh, yeah, right. She'd have a big
phone.
She's
got an iPad. So basically, she had an iPad.
Yes. She more or less had a laptop computer in her hands that she could have let go and smashed another passenger in the face of.
And so it doesn't matter if you're Jessie J or not, but she actually, she got the ride shut down.
She was the fun shutter downer. She sucked the fun right out of the air. Due to breaking the rules about holding a phone on a ride, they had to shut the ride down.
And then everyone has to get off, and it's Jessie J's fault.
Yeah, she didn't say how long they were sat there for, but sat there long enough that I'd imagine people would be like, what's happening? Who caused this?
Yeah, whose fault is this?
And then come over and be like, ladies and gentlemen, please stay calm and remain in the roller coaster. Someone had their phone out. Oh,
Is that Jessie J that had her phone out? Jessie J's at the front of a roller coaster. She's ruining fun for everybody.
And then everybody just has to wait till they restart the ride.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's reminiscent of a time I had a high school party shut down when I was.
Right.
Well, I was dancing on a table. Shouldn't have been, granted. Yeah. But it was one of those wooden, you know, those wooden picnic tables everybody had?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, yeah. I've also danced on one.
Yeah, so they're quite stable.
Sturdy.
Well, some of them
are. Sturdy. The new ones, if it's new, if it's been outside for a few summers, and it starts to get a bit of a,
bit of
movement. But this table was not the problem. It was the adjoining plastic table that I didn't know where one stopped and one started.
Right.
And I stood on one end of the light plastic table, the sort that's on sale at the warehouse for like $30 on Boxing Day.
Yeah,
you buy the accompanying white plastic chairs, and it just flipped up and caught me in the face.
Your classic white distribution era.
Yeah, and then I broke both legs of the plate, and that was it. Like the it was off. The party was over because things were starting to get broken. That was right. The parents pulled the plug on it before it got any worse.
You stopped the fun.
Yeah, fun vacuumed. Just. So, all the fun was sucked out of the air.
You smashed it, literally.
Pre-days of cell phones and YouTube, otherwise, that would have been.
Oh, you would have been a YouTube hit.
It would have been a big one.
So let's ask this morning, 0800 dials at him, you can text 9696.
When did you suck the fun out of the air? When did you fun vacuum?
When did you stop the fun?
Well, when did you just...
And it was your fault.
Push the big red button labelled stop fun. And
I had an ex-boyfriend that did that every time he walked into a room.
Oh, really? Yeah. Just he walked in.
Everyone would be like, I will.
Oh, God. Yeah. Somebody said, I was an RA at the uni halls in Otago.
Oh, such an important job.
God, that would be the worst job in the world.
Yeah, those first years aren't going to sleep with themselves. I mean, they will.
They can and they will. They will. They can't find someone else.
But if you're a third year, you know your way around the town. Why not take advantage of that power structure that you've been given? But they said, I'd walk into a room and have to kick them all out. I was known as the fun vacuum. It was my nickname.
Yeah.
But then you confiscate their booze and you've got booze for the weekend because let's not forget, all you are is a slightly older Otago student.
Hannah, when did you stop the fun? When were you the fun vacuum?
Okay, so I was 4 years old and we went to this lion park in Rotorua. I think it's called Paradise something.
We've been there. I've been a couple of times. Yeah.
I like the eels.
Yeah.
The eels?
Well, you know the lion enclosure?
Yeah.
There used to be a viewing platform that you could walk up to and look down on the lion.
Yeah.
And when I was four, I stuck my hand through the fence on the viewing platform and grabbed the electric fence. And they had to, like, grab me free and everything. But then I got stuck in the first fence. And anyway, long story short, we went back a year later and the viewing platform had been closed down. And my parents asked the staff why. And they said, oh, some little girl got her hand stuck in the fence and it was a health and safety risk.
So you shut down not just the lion park for a day, but the whole platform
forever
and fun for people forever.
Yeah, and we've been back since. I'm 20 now. We've been back since and it's still closed, so...
You're like the kid on Jurassic Park that's on the electric fence when it gets turned back on.
So because we went a year ago. You can still go into the enclosure. I love that place. It's such a cool little place.
We're not into the enclosure.
You can't go next to the lion cubs.
Not
the big lions.
The Simbas and the...
Don't walk in there.
Do not at any stage.
Also, hey, William, when were you the fun sponge? When did you stop the fun?
We were heading up to a paintball game for a birthday party and there was a big group of us. And on the way up, there was this mountain, and there was this big hole, and inside the hole was a puddle. And I thought I'd be really cool and impress the girls by jumping over it.
Okay.
So girls jump over it, and I landed wrong and dislocated my kneecap. And my knee came right out, and it stayed out.
So no paintball?
Yeah, no paintball. Everyone had to wait and watch while an ambulance came up and tore my jeans off, and then we went into the ambulance. It took like an hour for them to get up there.
So I would have just let you go, and I still would have played paintball. No offense.
To be honest, I've played enough paintball that a ride in an ambulance would be more exciting.
One of the girls came with me. I don't know why she did.
Because I was going to say girls don't love a puddle jumper, but you've just proved me wrong because you got one of them to accompany you to the hospital.
She watched you get your jeans ripped off.
Yeah, get out of the paintball. Oh, yeah. Hey, thanks, you call William.
Anthony, when were you the fun vacuum? When did it all stop thanks to you?
Oh, yeah, so I evacuated the Te Papa Museum in Wellington.
So literally hundreds, if not a thousand odd people because of you.
Yes, thousands, yes.
Okay.
How did you do it? Start a fire somewhere or?
I went under the car park and I didn't notice that the height signs changed at a certain part and smacked the top of the sprinkler offer and unloaded thousands of litre of water into the car park too.
How quickly did that car park, was there like a film of water on the ground or would you call it a puddle? How quickly did the car park?
More of a few swimming pools, I'd say.
Oh my God.
So even though that was a car park, that everybody in the museum had to go outside and stop their fun.
Yeah. Thousands of them had to go own up too, just in case.
Oh, did you have to pay for any of that?
No, I did wait for a bill. They said they might do, and nothing ever happened, so I didn't even have to tell the boss either, which was awesome.
That is the worst. We might bill you. That's like someone saying, we might call your parents.
Wait, did you?
You live in fear every time your forever. Phone calls and it says, oh, geez,
awesome.
Oh, God,
hey,
oh, God.
Thanks, you call Anthony.
Every day in work was pretty scary for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I bet it was.
A couple of text messages to finish off. When I was nine, the wave pool at the local pools reopened after being shut for months.
Oh, okay.
Dad took me and my brother in, decided he couldn't keep both of us afloat, so had to start yelling out, stop the waves, stop the waves, help, stop the waves. So the waves stopped.
Oh, Dad,
everybody
got the waves
just gave us the filthiest looks. Oh. Scarlett rang in, but we don't have time to hear her. So here's the quick version. She dislocated her shoulder during the Santa lolly scramble and the whole thing got cancelled.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
It's our pleasure now, though, to have in studio the director and star of New Zealand's, no doubt in my mind, New Zealand's next big movie, Hunt for the Wilder People, Taika Waititi and Sam Neill. Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to have you both in. Sam, you as the star and Taika as the director star, right? You're in it, but how big's your role?
My role is probably bigger than it should be.
Right.
It's a good part. I had the most pointless role in the film, but because I directed it, I got to stick myself in it.
Right.
Fair enough.
And you play, from what I can see in the trailer, a preacher of sorts.
I don't know anything about religion, so I said minister when I wrote it, but right. It might be a preacher. What would you say?
You're the parson.
A parson?
Yeah.
Or a pastor?
Ah, yeah.
One of those reverends. I have no idea what I play. I'm wearing some
vicar
stuff.
Of Dibley.
A vicar?
A vicar.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know why. My only knowledge of vicar is the vicar of Dibley. So
I'm in the film for like 2 or 3 minutes.
Right.
Which is two or three minutes. Unforgettable. 2 or 3 minutes that probably don't need to be in there. But as I say, my movie.
How many minutes are you in the film?
I'm in quite a lot of minutes.
Quite a lot of the minutes?
Not as many minutes as Julian Dennison, who is in every minute, I believe.
He's in every scene.
Yeah.
Is that every... How old is this? This kid's amazing. The trailer was...
He's a prodigy.
Like, you think, I know, it was amazing.
You know that band Prodigy?
Yeah.
He's that.
He's that dancing guy from that.
He's reverse aging.
Yeah. He looks a lot better now.
Younger,
healthier.
Younger since the 90s. Yeah. It was a healthier decade for him, the 2000s. What had he done previously?
In that band? I don't know.
Getting
piercings. He did the ad that I made an anti-drug driving PSA kind of thing with him in it, and he was amazing. And when I made that with him, I knew I wanted to put him into a film, but I didn't know which one until the script came about.
Any fears of putting the weight of the entire film? You're not afraid
I'm not
of anything?
Afraid of anything. So you're like, no fears.
He's doing it.
I have zero fears.
What about when you first met him, Sam? What were your initial impressions?
He's a kid. I mean, what am I going to say?
But did you think, were you worried you turn up, you're in a movie and this is the kid that's...
No.
I was worried he was going to be a racist.
Because
there's nothing worse than a 12-year-old racist. On a movie set in New Zealand. With all the diversity we have in our crews and, you know, me being Māori and him, and also him being Māori, I was very scared that he was going to be racist against Māoris, which I thought would be hypocritical.
Yeah.
And I was going to have a go at him for that.
Yeah.
I knew he was going to be good because I'd seen the Blazin commercials.
Yeah.
And he's fantastic in that. And so I knew he would be all right. But I was confused because I thought, this was a sequel to Hunt for the Red October and turned up there.
I was wondering why you had your weird Russian accent.
There's a 12-year-old Maori kid. What's he doing? What's he doing in a submarine movie?
The Cold War is no place for a child.
Although children would be great in the submarine, they're very small.
Yeah.
Mm. And use less oxygen because of the smaller lungs. Yeah.
I think that's I think we've cracked something there. We should talk to the military, the New Zealand submarine.
Department?
Do we have submarines?
All the video
submarines.
Games.
Yeah.
Do we
have
submarines? Going to be paying off their better.
No.
Pilot that
we don't
submarine.
Have submarines, do we?
Well, oh, maybe this is why.
We need them.
Do you know, yeah. If we do...
For the kids.
They're yeah. Doing submarines right.
We've got to do something with all these kids.
We've got all these bloody submarines.
We've got all these submarines with no one to fit in them.
Put the two together.
Midget submarines.
It does it. Yeah. Your character, Sam, kind of, when I watched the trailer, reminded me of my own Pomper, my own granddad, being that... You've got a gun, a hat, and a swan dry on.
And he was grumpy?
He was never happy, but he was like right. Nice.
That's
to
grumpy.
Us. I think us grandkids probably saw that. He was in that grey no man's land between yeah. Happy and grumpy. He was an emotionless sort of man. We never saw him overly.
Oh, he was a New Zealander.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. He was an old mate from New Zealand. Did you know someone like that?
Like, heaps of people like
yeah.
That. Yeah. And I'm one of those people.
You are one of those people. Was that your swan
dry? You can see I'm not particularly happy now.
Because of the children.
Did you,
did
you rip your character off his popper?
I would just say he's the quintessential Kiwi bloke, isn't he?
Yeah. That archetype.
Was he, because this is a Barry Crump book.
I think I'm the new quintessential yeah. New Zealand bloke. Mm.
You've changed it.
I've changed the mold. I haven't broken the mold. I've taken the mold, melted it down.
Remolded.
Put my amazing body into the mold and made a new one.
Any other plans? Because, I mean, Barry Crump books are kind of, there's so many of them and they're amazing stories. Any other plans to do any other Barry Crump stories?
Yep.
Or do you pass the baton?
Bastards I've known.
Yeah. No, I haven't got any plans for that. Well, it's just, I'm busy.
You're busy? Mm-hmm. Busy because you're doing Thor, right?
Yeah.
Do you have to take a break from Thor to do this or has Thor not started?
Thor hasn't started.
Thor hasn't started.
No.
You're preparing, aren't you?
I'm preparing.
Can you tell us any, like...
You guys all think it's a superhero movie, but in reality, it's Thor, the sequel to Frozen.
Right.
Brilliant.
Right.
Thawing out.
And when the water defrosts, where are all the kids?
Where are all the kids? In the submarines.
Yeah, under the water that's now not frozen
saving
anymore.
Okay. Elsa and Anna.
Okay, so it opens today in New Zealand, Hunt for the Wilder People. Thank you so much for coming and very much looking forward to seeing the film. Any final words?
Pixie Caramel?
Yep.
Oh, there's a reference.
How many people won't get that?
And you know what? Guess who directed that ad?
Who?
Roger Donaldson.
Really?
Yes. Really?
Wow, okay.
I'm going to say this is a film made by New Zealanders for New Zealanders, and we want all New Zealanders to see this movie because it's for them.
Yeah. The opening weekend is the most important for us, so everyone please go and see it. Also, Sam, Julian, myself, Oscar Keitley, and Rachel House, and a few of the other cast members, if we can get them together, are doing the only Auckland Q&A at the Reading New Lynn Cinema on Saturday morning at 11 a.m. this weekend.
Wonderful.
So if you want to see us talk more about submarines and this film,
brilliant.
Please come along.
Sam's face tells me he hadn't been told he had to be anywhere on Saturday morning yet. Looked.
I know now.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
Great news though, and I wanted to talk about this and mention this because I'm always after a flight bargain.
You love a travel.
I'm always a bit of a traveller.
And you're travelling lately, bar your trip to Bali, seems to be quite sort of the US is used as the gateway to South America. You've loved a couple of trips to Central and South lately.
So the American Airlines are launching a service from Auckland to Los Angeles.
I believe that's pronounced Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. This is going to start on the 25th of June, and they are offering return flights. These are going to go on sale, I think, soon, for $799 return to LA.
I'm going to LA.
Those are between the dates October 15 and December 15 is when you must travel.
Isn't that insane? Because normally you'd be looking at least like $1,600.
Yeah.
And you might even have to go through Aussie to get it that cheap.
So
to go direct and pay that much money, I mean, I know it's a special fare because they're just launching. Yeah. I don't know what their normal fares will be like when they're not on sale.
And apparently Air New Zealand has a monopoly
Well, yeah, they're the only ones that fly direct
on
now.
Yeah. Not the board game, because when I was reading that, I was confused for a moment, and then I remembered that that's why the board game's called Monopoly.
Yeah.
Because of the idea is to have the Monopoly.
Yep.
So, yeah, they've come in and said they're teaming up with Qantas.
Yep.
And they're going to do an Auckland-Los Angeles.
Brilliant.
Direct flight. How long's that flight?
It's a
12, 13 hours. Yeah. It's a long one.
Here's the good news. The plane doing that flight is going to be a Dreamliner. I don't know a lot about planes. I don't know a lot about planes, but I've been on a Dreamliner, yeah. And it was an absolute treat.
Have you been on one, Laura?
No, never been on one.
You know the window shades on normal planes?
Yes.
You just press a button and it blacks out. It's like magic. It's future magic. It's like flying on magic.
It's magic from the future, or technology, as we've been calling magic for a few hundred years now. What about those magic?
He was really selling it. He was really selling the magic of the
plane.
What about those magic horseless carriages that people are driving around these days? I tell you what, that is something. And the magic wireless that tells us the news broadcast.
Right, okay.
And these kids in there. And the magic box that sits in the lounge that shows us other people's lives.
You can't explain these things.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan. The Undercutter.
But tomorrow, we're hoping to give away $5,000. Now, that's not a certainty, because I don't know about you, but I would be packing myself ahead of this.
Well, yeah, you're right. Could be backouts.
Riley is this week's undercutter, and tomorrow for $5,000, he will have his toe surgically removed and then reattached as part of a medical trial. Now, this happens all the time. We first heard about this when someone in the UK was doing their OE.
Yeah, and got paid £5,000.
So they did it for he's doing it for half the money.
We've heard from people throughout the week as well. Right. Who somebody said they knew someone who got their little finger for a trial as well when they were overseas in the UK.
I do a toe before I did a finger, because you never see your toe.
You need these, right? And they're all in everyone's
grill. There's a reason there's five of them. God made us this way.
Okay.
6,000 years ago.
What an insincere face that was.
I know. Don't encourage him, Laura. We're about to deal with some feedback. Read this week's undercutter. So let's not rile people up too much, Vaughn.
Okay. So do you want to start with your one line critiques?
Sure.
Or your actually well written inquiries from someone with some sort of medical background?
Either way. Let's go maybe the one-liners.
The one-liners.
Yeah. Okay.
WTF, new low, this is. That's just one of them.
We're not making anyone do this. This is choice.
By any means. This is disgusting and offensive. You're being very disrespectful to amputees.
Never thought about
that.
No,
I didn't think
about that. I hadn't really thought about that too. I'd never really considered a toe, if you had a toe. Does your husband consider himself an amputee?
Not really, but he is one by
definition.
By definition.
He's missing three. He's got his big toe and his second toe. He can still handle a jandle, but then that's all he's... No, it's like a claw.
Because when I saw your husband last was at the airport in LA, and we had a drink together.
He said that?
Yeah, and I had his jandals on, and
kissed.
I was like...
Are you trying to make Laura jealous? Look, he'd been away from home for a really long time. If it had to be anyone, I was glad it was Fletch. I'm glad
you
it was Fletch.
You and Fletch do bear a striking resemblance to each other.
I know. I've tied my hair up just so people go, are they sisters?
But the thing is, he had his jandals on and I couldn't look at his feet. You could see the...
Well, you don't want to stare at them.
Well, no, I was thinking about taking a Snapchat, but I was like, that's too far, right?
That's really rude.
He's put it on Snapchat before. He's all about putting the lack of toes out there.
And again, they're not going to be an amputee because we're reattaching it.
Yeah, no, they're not, yes.
Is that the disrespectful part? I like to understand people's offence. I like to try to understand why people could possibly be offended. So do you think it would be that we're making light of half of the amputation surgery? Do you think that's why that person's offended? I don't know.
No.
Just trying to work it out. This is all in capital letters, so this person's yelling.
Okay.
filing with BSA, that's the Broadcasting Standards Authority, which is great because they do a coffee card thing. If you get 10 complaints, nine complaints, you get your 10th for free.
That's right, yeah.
And seeing a lawyer. This is so cruel to amputees. I don't care if you block me because it has all been screenshot. That's all in We would have
all
blocked.
In capitals. That's we like the target yeah. script, wasn't it? All in capitals.
If someone disagrees with our what we're saying, we don't block you. We deal with the problem. Let you have your say. Yep, that's the growing up thing to do if you disagree with somebody. somebody said, nope, just stupid. Obviously, whoever thought of this must have already had their brain amputated and unsuccessfully reattached. I like that one because that's what we're doing. New line equals new person's complaint. Oh, right. So what they're saying is that this was comments. Okay. Every comment seems to be a person's complaint. Sorry for the lack of spaces and punctuation. My button's broken.
don't lay into us and then apologize.
No. This is good humans. This is good humanity.
Okay, well, look.
It restores my faith. Here's the official. This comes in. I'm emailing with a few questions about the Undercutter competition currently running. One who will be performing the surgery. Answer to that.
Complete medical professional, a doctor who's done this 100 times before.
Yes. Will the winning contestant be truly and meaningfully informed about the surgery, including any risks that may be involved in undergoing said surgery? Yes. They've had consultations yesterday and again today.
And also signed a lot of legal waivers.
And can pull out at any time.
Yep.
Have you sought legal and ethical advice regarding the surgery and the provision of money as a potentially coercive incentive? A doomed new, but that was a very nice. We've got the guy who plays Harvey Specter coming in. We can run that very legally sounding question past him.
What that means?
I think it means doing something for money has a moral legal repercussion.
Okay, next.
Again, that's something that our legal department swore at us about and have been going through it. So I think Tony very well worded rather than just swearing at us in capitals. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it might not even happen because I know that he's a little bit nervous about this.
Yeah.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
Today's been a great day. Unless you're in charge of The Bachelor New Zealand.
What's happened?
Is this what I do now?
You make a segue.
Segue.
You go, great segue,
You
Vaughn.
Did do a great segue there.
Thanks.
James, the producer, are you still watching The Bachelor?
Yeah.
You say you watch it because your girlfriend and your mum watch it.
Yeah, Claire's over, we watch it as well.
Is that true, James's girlfriend in the background? Does he actually ask to put it on, doesn't he? He asks.
Oh, no, we didn't hear James. James, you took your finger off the button when she was about to speak.
Oh, yeah, she can't hear because there's like this. It's really going to be quite hard to make that happen now.
Does James watch Bachelor because of you or because he likes it?
Definitely because he likes it.
Yeah, thank you. James's girlfriend is in. Finger off the button.
Yes. Well, there is some bad news.
Yeah.
Ratings have plummeted
to Campbell Live levels.
Oh, okay.
Now that's no way. Everybody just backed away and put their hands up.
Reflection
on the JC. You're not a huge fan of the JC, but I'm saying it was enough for them to cancel it, wasn't it?
Well,
so
sure.
That's just what
not
I was
sure
getting
this is
at
a discussion
then.
I'm prepared to put my head in the ring for, but yeah.
So it's hit. It's just hit its lowest ratings. This is the lowest ratings of season two so far, and really low.
I get why people watch it because it's trashy
boring.
and it's getting boring to the boring stage. It's like most reality shows have that lull in the middle, don't they?
Yeah.
Before it gets good and
I've
there's only
even
a couple
watched an
left.
Episode though.
Someone needs to kill someone.
Is that how
Naz needs to stab a bitch. I've watched collective probably 5 minutes of The Bachelor this season.
Right.
Because there's heaps of other really good things available to put your eyes on.
I'm Netflixing at the moment.
I know.
I don't even watch, I watch the news maybe for a little bit, but that's I'm Netflixing most of the time or downloads.
I'll give the news a little bit because it gets too depressing. I'm like, back to living in an ignorant bliss on a South Pacific
Daredevil
island.
Daredevil or something. Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
Season 2. Daredevil's been me since The Bachelor started.
There's a new show on Lightbox. It's out today. It's called The Path, and it stars Aaron Paul, Jesse Pinkman from Breaking Bad, and we're going to talk about that next. You didn't even notice
airtight.
That segue.
That was
a great
we
segue.
We started with a segue and ended with a segue.
Yeah, it's so good.
Born in seat warmer, Laura.
Aaron Paul, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you guys doing? Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much for fulfilling a dream and being on the show. We're just a Vince Gilligan away from the and a Bryan Cranston. So you're the first part in our Breaking Bad trifecta. We're going to be honest. We've started our Breaking Bad trifecta.
That's great.
Two-thirds of
Vince and Brian on. They're great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's start with The Path. Now, this is starting today in New Zealand on Lightbox. explain the show, because from the, what we've seen of the trailer, it looks like, what, you're stuck in a cult?
Yeah, yeah. You know, my character, Eddie, he was brought into the... We like to consider ourselves in a movement, but any outsider perspective is definitely going to look at it like a cult. My character was brought into the movement when I was at the lowest of lows. I met my loving wife, who was born into the movement. We've raised our two kids in the movement. But in this pilot episode, my character comes back from a retreat with the movement, and he just decides that he is not buying anything or selling anymore. But he knows if he says anything, the family will just turn their back on him and just move forward and leave him behind. And so it's a very intense movement, but you just kind of get a look behind the velvet curtain of what really goes on.
The writing of this, was there a lot of research done into actual movements? I've done that thing with my fingers where I put my fingers up. Like, is any of it based on actual events inside these sorts of communes, or...?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Jessica Goldberg, our creator, extraordinaire, she took bits and pieces from, I think, multiple movements, religions, cults, and kind of created her own and, you know, made up some stuff along the way. But a lot of the stuff that you do see on the show, people do believe. And, I mean, I have friends that are in Scientology, for example, who just do not buy into it whatsoever anymore. You know, they were born into it, but they just go on with their day-to-day routine with Scientology to appease their family, because if they say anything, the family will just never talk to them again. And so that, for example, is very true, and that's what happens in this show.
So is it a thriller? Is that how you describe the path?
Yeah, I would absolutely describe it as a very intense, dramatic thriller, yeah.
Good. Wow. Is it good to get your teeth sunk into some more stuff like that? Have you been missing it since the end of Breaking Bad? Or
I have. You know, I had such an incredible experience with Breaking Bad. It was just, you know, 7 years of my life, and I've missed that family so much. You know, going to work every single day with them, and I'm still very close with most of them. And I mean, Brian and I talk all the time. And
I was gonna ask how often do you text? Is it every day? Every second?
It's not every day, but I talked to him yesterday. I'm doing a Q&A at his theater for this film I have that just came out, Eye in the Sky. He has a theater in Palm Springs, so I'm going out there and doing a Q&A for him. And but yeah, we're very close. So, you know, it's nice to kind of be back on the small screen, per se, being able to tell a long narrative over the course of hopefully, you know, 5 or 6 seasons.
All right, we're on the phone with Aaron Paul. Aaron, we want to come back with you next. And
we've got some Breaking Bad questions.
Of course.
Oh, God.
Of course, you'll know him from Breaking Bad as Jesse Pinkman.
Yeah, no, that was one of the biggest TV shows of all time. Do you get asked much even now when you're out on the street just, you know, walking your dog?
Every single day.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, every single day. I get called bitch, or someone asks me to call them a bitch.
Yeah.
And I take it with stride. You know, I feel so blessed to have been part of something so so incredible. And I think that show is going to go down in history as one of the greatest dramas ever.
Yeah.
And so, you know, 20 years from now, if people are still calling me bitch, which I'm sure they will be, maybe I might be a little more frustrated.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
I would 20 years down the track, if you're still getting bitch, that's the highest praise ever for a piece of pop culture that it's remained relevant for that long.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, and I think, and even now, I mean, I know we only ended a couple years ago, but now people are just starting to watch the show.
Yeah,
just being introduced to Breaking Bad, and so yeah, I think the fans will continue to grow.
That's the thing. Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, The Wire, they're these shows that after they've finished, you still can't talk about what happens in the storyline because you've always got a friend that's just started the box set or doing it like a binge watch.
Right, right. I know, it's true. There's just such great, there really is such great TV out there. And I know I'm a little biased with the past. I do believe that this is going to be one of the next great shows.
Well, what are you watching? Personally, what are you watching and loving on television then?
I'm loving House of Cards. I love Bloodline. I love It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's
very
good.
Very good.
Yep.
Pretty great. Yeah, there's just such great. I mean, Game of Thrones, I'm not caught up, but I love it. Better Call Saul, you know.
Yeah, obviously.
Speaking of Better Call Saul, there's all the... Everyone's constantly saying who we're going to see in there that was in Breaking Bad. Are you any closer? Are we going to see you in season 3?
You could, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I will tell you, if it does happen, it's gonna happen for all of the right reasons. They're not just going to throw Jesse in just to, you know, have him make an appearance. Yeah. It's got to make sense to the story. And
right.
So hopefully, I mean, they definitely talked to me about it. And I've absolutely entertained the idea for sure.
Because right. I'd even be happy with just a passing in the street and a shoulder nudge and a yo bitch sort of,
that'd be enough
with that. I mean, yeah. You want more. No doubt you want more, but I'm being very selfish here. That would please me.
That would be pretty great though.
Have you ever been to New Zealand?
No, I have never been to New Zealand. That's on my bucket list. I got to make it out there.
Because you promised.
Gorgeous place.
You were almost about to run away here.
yeah.
And now your girlfriend's dead / being Jessica Jones, so I don't know if you're going to come solo or what the story is, but there was... New Zealand gets... We get very, very excited if we're ever mentioned in anything, and I think it's every New Zealander's favourite Breaking Bad moment when you were going to run away to New Zealand.
Oh, wasn't that so great? I personally want to run away to New Zealand. It's just such a magical place. So, yeah, I got to make it out there.
All right. Well, The Path, it's on Lightbox, and you can start getting into it now. Very excited to see this. Thank you so much, Aaron, for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
And since the interview's over and you can't cut us off or be offended by it and call the interview short, can you please call us bitches before you leave?
You are all a beautiful bitch to me.
I thought you were going to hang up on us, to be honest, Aaron.
I'm sorry. I just had to.
Fledge, Vaughn and Megan.
The story I'm about to tell you, I love reading about it when it's not a New Zealander.
Right, okay.
Like, you hear about this happening overseas and you'll happily read it and be like, interesting, I wonder what's going on there. But now it's a Kiwi.
So what,
one half
okay.
of the story.
So that makes it even more unusual because it's happening here in New Zealand.
Yes.
What's happened?
A 22-year-old called Kate from Palmerston North has left for Virginia in the United States to put a face to the name of her two-year prison-based correspondent, Gary, 39.
When you say prison-based correspondent, he's a prisoner. And so what, she's been like a pen-palling him?
Yes.
Writing old-school letters.
How?
See, now I'm just going to have to... So I have written a letter to someone in jail because I watched Making a Murderer and I was so internally conflicted about Brendan Dassey.
This is Brendan that they just convinced them to admit to anything.
Yeah. And I just felt so bad for the poor guy. And I wrote to him and Guppy was like, do not send that letter. I was like, if he goes on some sort of worldwide shooting spree, he's going to come around and be like, Laura wrote a letter.
Yeah.
Not her. Tick. You.
That
boom.
Is like Steve Buscemi's character in Happy Gilmore.
Did you use like short, simple words for Brendan?
No, I just congratulated him because I Googled. I did a lot of Googling.
Yeah.
I was a full-blown investigator after Making a Murderer and he had a little Facebook page that someone set up and it had the address of where he was and said that he graduated high school. So it was just like a congratulations.
But you're not starting it. You're not interested in starting a relationship with him, are you?
No. I don't know if he'd pick up flirting via the pen and paper.
There are actually pen pal prison services that exist for this thing.
It's called Write a Prisoner.
Right.
It connects interested pen pals with people in the US just randomly.
But you mentioned Making a Murderer. That his latest wife, the other guy, what's his
name? Stephen Avery.
Yeah, Stephen Avery.
I got to do the voice every time.
Yeah, that weird Wisconsin accent.
She wrote to him and then like fell in love with him.
Yeah, she's like 75.
Yeah, but she's a bit mental. The great silence in the room was definitely really going, she's a bit crazy.
She was like knitting cardigans for a cat.
Kate Cockcroft, I can only imagine Lana Cockcroft's niece or something.
Sure.
it's a rare name.
It probably is.
I don't know any Cockcrofts personally.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway, she's headed off. She's only 22. She's
22
not 75.
And he's 39.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did she sign up to write to a prisoner to piss off someone? like she broke up with the ex and he's like, well, I've got a new girlfriend and she loves my lowered Sylvia that I do drags in. And she's like, well, really? I'm writing to a prisoner now.
What's he done?
I'm going over to visit.
What's he done? Because if he's been, like, if it's some white-collar crime, that's fine. But you don't want to be getting involved in, you know, some nasty murderer or some kind of, you know, violent offender.
I don't know if they know. Gary's an FCI low. This is the complex's low security prison, having me jailed for bank robbery. Their felonies are listed in their online profiles, but not in details.
You can choose who you, and what their crime is.
She's taking, by the way, she's not going by herself. She's taking her toddler.
Sorry?
She's got a kid.
Yeah.
A toddler and her best friend over to meet Gary.
Wow, okay. Good on her, though.
Gary. Bank robber Gary.
Wow.
I would love to be a fly on the wall when you say to your dad, I'm off overseas. I've met someone. Tell me a bit about him, love.
Yep. Your dad would hit the roof.
All I know, Dad, is his name's Gary and he was arrested 14 years ago for a bank robbery. What? Bank robbery. He didn't get away with it. No, he didn't get away with it, Dad. That's why he's in prison.
Handed himself in.
I'd love to know right now if anybody listening has started a relationship with someone in prison.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to know.
Because this is a Kiwi woman meeting an American prisoner, but does it actually happen here? Like, I know people would meet people and then they go
in
prison.
And then they end up in
but
prison.
But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, like, do we have a pen pal thing here?
Like an online prison service.
Yeah. Because sometimes
can they
you hear
go
that.
Online?
Well, if prison? You get the phone into prison, but you've got to be able to fit it, smuggle it in.
Apparin.
Which is very hard for an iPhone.
Don't, yeah, they're not smart.
That's
at the
a Nokia Blue.
And they can't get on Facebook.
Very,
they don't
very.
Do the facey.
No.
So like I don't an know. iPhone might be thin, very wide.
I don't know. Maybe it's, you know, it's one of those games of I have never and nobody's going to put their hand up for this one.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
We have heard from some people. We're running a little bit out of time because we've got Harvey Specter coming in very soon. Gabriel
you don't
Mark.
Keep Harvey Specter waiting.
No, you don't. I wonder if he'll be wearing a suit. I hope he's wearing a suit.
Doing a suit store appearance when he's here, right?
We just mentioned before the New Zealand woman who's going over to meet a prison pen pal. People have, they're just called text through.
Yeah.
People do that here as well.
Yeah. But some of the details were a little bit sketchy.
Yeah.
We thought legally perhaps we'd sidestep.
Yeah. We're just going to do this a little bit earlier because we've got Gabriel Mark coming in. It's time now for
Fact of the Day.
You've really come a long way since the start of the week, Laura.
You're
to be congratulated. Today's fact of the day is in 1986, Harrods owner. Now, you've been to London. You're aware of the Harrods department store.
I love the Harrods.
Very expensive.
Ridiculously expensive.
Like, my friend who lives in England got a £50 Harrods voucher, and he got two pairs of socks.
That was it.
He said they were lovely socks.
You know, most New Zealanders go there and they buy the bag.
Yeah.
And then you can say you bought something bought the bag.
Put your lunch in.
Might buy a chocolate and go and visit the Lady Diana special engagement ring thing that they have
because
in
that's
Harrods.
Right. She was
Dodie Al Fayed, Muhammad Al Fayed's
son,
who owns it now.
Well, this fact involves Muhammad Al Fayed, the owner of Harrods. He launched a legal campaign against an Otorohanga restaurateur who wanted to call his restaurant Harrods because his name was Henry Harrod.
Wow, okay.
So in 1986, Henry Harrod's looking at opening a Otorohanga restaurant and he wants to call it Harrods. And at the time, Muhammad Al Fayed is sweeping the world, taking legal action against anyone trying to make a buck off the Harrods name.
Right, okay.
And Henry's like, well, no, it's my name. That's why I want to call it Harrods. In response, Otorohanga got behind this idea and every business in the town changed its name to Harrods. And the district council even temporarily renamed Otorohanga Harrodsville.
Wow.
Just to get to old Al Fayed.
And Al Fayed dropped the lawsuit after the British media just tore at him. Like, there is a town in New Zealand that is taking on one of the most powerful businessmen in our country and making him look like a complete dick.
How is this not a Sunday night movie or a Kiwi classic movie?
Montana.
Sunday
Montana.
Well, we've got a couple of movies worked out for the next Montana thing. You've got the fisherman in Hawke's Bay who's having approved that he wants to win an Isuzu ute.
Yeah.
And you've got the Harrodsville story of Otorohanga in 1986.
Heard play the restaurateur, Harrod. Who'd play
Here's
him?
Who I want to see come okay. out of it. John Lee, who you might remember as Lionel Skiggins of Shortland Street.
Oh, yeah.
God, I miss Lionel.
Yes. He'd be a great
He's due a good juicy role, isn't
well,
he?
Well, no, voices the election guy, doesn't orange he? The little orange guy.
No, he well, doesn't.
Have you enrolled to vote?
Yeah.
That's Lionel.
It is. It's Lionel.
But he's Muffins.
Lionel Skiggins.
Yeah, that's Lionel Skiggins. The orange election guy.
Good God.
Almost said orange erection guy.
Okay, who would play the mayor of Otorohanga?
Vaughn.
Thank you. This have is you the seen role acting? My acting chops have been waiting for.
Have you seen his acting? It's terrible.
I want to say Rhys Darby, only because he plays that comical New
Awkward.
Zealand character.
He's in the mayoral. He's in the hunt for the World of People as well, which is out today.
And he plays, the reason I say he plays a mayor on the New Zealand cartoon Barefoot Bandits too.
Do you know, Rhys Taika Darby. Waititi would be, this would be a great movie for him if he wasn't going over to do Thor and stuff now.
Yeah.
The next great movie for him.
Harrodsville. Mm. That's what you just call it, eh? So you might not know that if you're from Otorohanga. If you're from Otorohanga, I'd say you would know it.
Yeah, you might have heard about
it. You would know it. Today's fact of the day is in 1986, to tell Harrods owner Muhammad Al-Fayed where to stick it, Otorohanga was temporarily renamed Harrodsville.
Fact of the day.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
ZM.
Just right now waiting for the arrival of Gabriel Mark.
We're going to do another one of those things we did it with Alfie Allen where they come in and we meet them when we're already on air. Mm.
Was there this much internal panic from you two when Alfie
was here?
I didn't panic
for Alfie.
You
I
are both absolutely fantastic to be around.
This is the thing about Harvey Specter. Men want to be him, women want to be with him. Some men want to be with him. I would be with them.
Are you going to say that when he's here?
Well, he's not Harvey Specter. He's the man that plays Harvey Specter.
And that's what we have to remember.
If you've
so
he's an
character
actor.
You're in love with.
He's the character. That's the thing. It's the character that really woos me.
For those that haven't seen Suits, you can binge it on the old Netflix. Fantastic show.
Oh, my God, look at it.
It's on Lightbox too, New Zealand.
Yeah. It is.
Lightbox.
Now, we're just, what's our ETA, James? James, the producer? Have we seen?
I believe they're on the lift.
People are stopping him for photos, aren't they? This is a problem.
Yeah, he just tried to get in the lift.
Because he's famous.
I can see a floor up through the gap.
The ladies love a little Gabriel.
They do. And some men.
So do you think he'd be in a suit?
Is he in a suit, James?
Is he
in a suit?
I can't see. Hang on. Just hold on.
Any story. This is again. I think it's time we took issue with Hosking. We always go after Hosking and he hogs.
We should be before the Hosking.
Well, Caitlin is leading a parade.
My
God.
It's very handsome. And wearing a suit as well. I'm so happy.
It is a lovely suit. I'll just have you know.
Oh, yeah. Nice to meet you.
How's it going? Fletch, welcome in.
Can you wear headphones? You don't have to. That's completely up to
everyone.
Just
on
this
lovely.
Mic here.
You know what? I won't. All right.
You're so nice without them. I feel like you should leave them off.
Okay. I can hear you.
Okay. That's good then.
I'll be a little too self-conscious if I listen to myself.
Welcome to New Zealand.
Thank you.
This is not your first time. We've heard this from... We're only Rick Hoffman and Patrick Adams away from the Suits. Full suit.
Oh, is that true?
We've had Megan... And Sarah.
Sitting in this chair?
No, on the phone. You're the first.
They were sitting in.
You're the first in person. Others have been phoned, but they've told us that both of them told us that you recommended New Zealand as a place to come.
I did. I spent 20 days here a few years ago. My wife and my daughter and I, we did a camper van trip on the South Island.
Oh, wow.
And then we took a week and a half up here on the North Island.
Right.
Don't ask me anything about it. But no, we had a great time. Great time.
Your wife is Australian?
She is.
Right, okay. So have you spent a bit of time in Aussie?
Yes.
Right.
I've been with my wife for 15 years. We have a home on the Sunshine Coast, so we go back yearly.
Wow, okay.
I had Vegemite this morning.
Have you heard of Marmite?
Is Marmite what you guys have over here?
Well, there's... The big fight between Vegemite and Marmite.
Is there a fight?
Yeah.
I think Vegemite would take Marmite down.
I'm with you. I don't say it unless I've got backing that I'm a Vegemite guy over a Marmite guy.
Did Rachel Zane, Meghan Markle, tell you what happened when she was staying at a campground here? In New Zealand?
Did she?
After you recommended New Zealand to her as a lovely place to go.
What happened?
She was in a cubicle in a campground showering, and a small teenage boy stuck his head underneath the...
Really?
Underneath the door.
Good for him. No, I'm kidding. That's so unacceptable.
Yeah, and she was just, and she found the parents and it got a telling off. But I think that was before she was on Suits as well, so.
Oh, is that right?
There's some
no,
of us
no, it was since.
Was it since?
No, yeah, it was after like the first season of Suits, I think.
She may have told me that. That
right.
Oh, semi rings a bell.
That's horrible.
Yeah,
I know. I know.
Terrible.
We were like, we're not all like that. Please don't think we are.
That's funny.
But she said, you know, she understood teenage boys to a certain degree and didn't.
I don't know if she's recovered from that.
Now, so you were here, you're doing an appearance with Working Style, isn't it? The Suits?
Yes, that's correct.
Right, because I was going to say, seeing you in a suit is great because
the show's called
the TV
Suits.
Show. But is it weird when people see you just in casual attire, or they just like, whoa?
People don't recognize me, so it's great.
Okay. I was going to say, with your, because you've got a bit of growth. And the character Harvey Specter is always clean shaven.
Yes.
So that and casual attire, people might walk right by.
They do, and that's really good for my personal life.
Yeah,
I love it.
You like that?
Yes.
Did you ever expect Suits to be the sort of show where people would stop you and want a photo and want to talk and everything?
You know, I try not to have too many expectations. I find that I always fall. My brain is not functioning right now. It's not good to have expectations. So I never expected this to be a global phenomenon in the way it is.
Yeah.
I'm super appreciative of the role. I think that the show has, you know, large appeal and people are really getting a kick out of it. I mean, here, you know, Lightbox is showing it. They've showed seasons 1 through 5, 4 and 5 are Express. It's been incredible. It's in the top 2 binge watch shows in New Zealand, which is amazing.
Wow.
That is huge. It sort of boggles my mind. I'm so grateful for that. In my personal life, you know, I like to go under the radar. So, you know, when I'm not working, I like to throw on something that has nothing to do with a suit so that nobody would recognize me ever.
Yeah. And just disappear into the back blocks of New Zealand, South Island, driving a camper.
Exactly.
Van.
But when I'm here talking about the show, hey, what better threads
than a lovely.
Than to
and
be
they
wearing.
Are lovely so, threads. I'll just let you know that.
And Working Style is hooked. A brother.
I was going to say. I mean, there's no shortage of free suits now, right? You never have to pay for a suit again.
Well, yeah, yes and no. Yes and no.
Is it? But when you're getting so many free suits, is it nice to pay for one, or that's just an awful myth?
I don't know.
It's even nice for anyone to pay for anything.
I know. That's the thing. But maybe
I don't pay for anything.
Good. Nor should you. If you look that good in a suit, I wouldn't either.
Is any of that sports memorabilia in Harvey Specter's office legit? Is there a because there's a lot, he's massive on his sports memorabilia on the show. Is any of it legit?
Yes. One of those basketballs is signed by Charles Barkley, which is not true. No, none of them are legit, but Charles Barkley was on the show.
Yeah.
He did sign a basketball, and it's in my trailer.
Right. Wow. So there that's is cool. legit sports memorabilia, but it's just not been used as a prop.
Have you ever been hit up for legal advice in public by someone that's blurred the lines between you're on a TV show and...
They have, and I've had to explain to them, I am an actor.
Right.
I say lines. Yeah. I have no business being in a law firm telling you what to do.
Right.
So, no.
What's been the most challenging aspect of Suits for you?
Press?
No, that's a fair enough, because when you get involved in a show, you've got no idea that you could be turning around constantly. The interviews, the same questions, because as hard as we try, you know, there's about 5 things people constantly want to know. So,
right. Tell me about your character.
Yeah.
What's the most challenging? You know, I'll tell you, the legalese is the most challenging. And our writer, Aaron Korsh, who developed and created the show, he doesn't know grammar. And so it's very hard to memorize the language. There's a different sort of pentameter. It's not Shakespeare, but it's very different. So there's a lot of double negatives. So, you know, I didn't go to law school. I don't really understand or know the terms. I'm just standing up straight and saying the line.
Standing up. Is that my character's main thing is standing up straight.
That's my go-to. Yeah. So it's really the most challenging is to be familiar with the words.
Right.
I'm having to learn 8 to 10 pages a day. So you try memorizing that every day.
Now, it's funny you say that because Vaughn is actually wanting to take steps along the acting route. Aren't you?
Actorarying.
Acting, not the hard.
Is there any E? What's the easiest sort of acting to do?
Just like reality television.
Yeah.
Okay,
done.
Yes.
So you've just got to sell your soul and not care about how anyone ever receives you
kinda,
or how you're portrayed.
Kind of.
Right, okay. That's so sell your soul much easier than learning legal jargon.
Nice.
You know, it beats buying suits for a living.
It's true. Right, well, you
I meant the actual threads, right?
Yeah. Please buy the...
You should be buying suits.
Yeah, well, for those that don't know, you can binge it all on Lightbox. So it's a fantastic show. We've been fans from the start, so it's great to have you in.
Yeah, we get to say that because we did.
We did. Thank you.
You know,
for
we're OG fans.
Oh, maybe there was like 4 episodes out when I caught wind. Of suits.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So you've been with it for 6 years.
Been with it for
years.
A long
That's
while.
Amazing.
Been
That's
a long
great.
While.
Fledge, Vaughn and Megan.
Okay, all right, time for the last calls. Last part of the show, one of the last parts
What's
of the show.
What's it called when a monarch butterfly comes out of its chrysalis? Like a you don't say hatch, you say like emerge. Emerge. My wife just got video. For those who have been following lately, Laura, you might not know.
Monty.
I've been massive on the monarch butterflies. Monty actually hatched and flew away.
Yeah.
And we saw him fly away. It was quite an emotional day for the family, but we found another chrysalis, so we brought it inside and it just hatched and the kids got to watch it and the wife got it on the video and everything. So she needs to know the word. What's it called in a monarch butterfly?
Births.
What?
Squeezes out.
No, it's not a birth, really. It's a rebirth.
What do you
Cracks.
Call it with the when you the pod ejects?
Reborn. Ejects.
From a space station. The pod, escape capsule. What's that called? Just the escape pod.
Undocks.
Oh, I don't know.
Undocks. Okay.
No,
I'll work on that. There's got to be a word for it.
We're going to take your last calls. Latia, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks.
Good.
How are you guys?
Good. What's your call for last calls?
So a couple of weeks ago, I left tech.
Yep.
And I pulled over to make a call to book my doctor's appointment. And I normally do call and drive, I must admit.
Okay.
But this one time I pulled over and went to call someone, this car pulled up behind me and this woman hopped out of her car, came over to my passenger window and smashed my window with a crowbar.
Oh, my God.
Why?
She followed me from tech and I've got a white Corolla and she thought that I was someone else that studied there as well who'd been getting with her husband.
You just can't go around smashing every white Corolla.
You just
There's so many of them.
Always identify the driver before you smash someone's car.
No.
Oh, my God.
She down and then she was like, oh, shit, I've got the wrong person. I'm so sorry. So,
and you're like, no problem. My insurance replaces class for free excess and it doesn't affect my no claims bonus.
Did you call the cops or did you sort it out with her?
Yeah, I called the cops and she was just saying how much drama she's been in and how she's so sorry and she didn't mean for this to happen to me. And I was like, well, you're the one that smashed my window kind of thing. So, yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. Wait, then we'll vote in just a sec. Alice, what's your story for last calls?
Hello. I think the word you're looking for is emerging when a butterfly hatches.
I'm very, very happy with emerging, Alice.
I want to vote now.
Alice gets my vote.
Oh, we haven't even heard Alice's story.
Well, I shall tell you my story.
Okay.
I was 18, which is about 11 years ago.
Okay.
And I was my first day at a new job, and everyone was sitting around, and then the cool kids invited me to go with them for lunch.
Wow.
And the cool kids were like mid-20s and I was really excited because I was 18.
Yeah.
And we were going to lunch and then the coolest girl fell down the stairs, a huge flight of stairs and rolled all the way down and hit the ground. And everyone was really concerned and they all got up and was like, are you okay? Are you okay? And she goes, oh my goodness, what a day. I lost my bag. I had my credit card stolen. And now this. And there was this big silence. And I kind of heard this voice in my head that said, go on, this is your moment. Make friends, cheer up. I stepped forward and I said to her, hey, well, at least you still have your virginity. And I was like, what?
You don't
Why
know this.
Why did you call me that?
You don't know
and
this.
And she just stared at me. And the worst thing is she stared at me. There's a big silence and everyone's like, what's going on? And then she goes, no, I don't actually. And I was like, okay. And then I just reversed out the door and ran down the street.
Oh my God. I'm so shocked for you. I can't even laugh.
Thank you. It's been 11 years and I still I feel really hyperventilating even telling you the story.
I love when something haunts you so much that remembering it even though you say it's 11 years ago, it feels like yesterday.
I know.
Oh, all right, they are the worst.
Vote in just a sec, Alice. Susie, last up for last calls. What's your story?
Hi. So it's actually about my sister who is a bit of a klutz.
Okay.
So it was quite a few years ago when we lived on a farm. We used to have horses. And my sister had a crush on the dairy farmer who lived next door, this boy.
Yeah.
And he decided to come riding with us one day. So the day started with her trying to mount her horse. And I've never seen anyone do this before. But instead of getting on the horse, she managed to do a full cartwheel, legs in the air, over the horse and land on her bum on the other side.
Oh, if it was going to land on her feet, that would have looked pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Straight on her bum and like the yucky grass and stuff.
Oh, and so she didn't impress the local farmer?
She didn't. And then after that, we were going for a gallop up this hill and I guess she didn't do a saddle up tight enough and the saddle blanket, once again, never seen this happen, slipped out from the horse and hit the horse following, which was, just happened to be this boy's horse in the face. Yep. And the boy's horse stopped dead and basically just got such a fright that he threw this boy off and he just landed straight in the muck.
You said stopped dead. I thought you said dropped dead. Yeah. I thought she
Wow. Okay, this is what happens when you spend all your time thinking about boys and not saddling up correctly.
Exactly.
All right, let's vote. The Tribal Council for today's prize pack. Three great stories today.
Three great stories.
There can only be one winner, though. Damn. This isn't the school system. You don't all win.
Oh, okay. Calm down.
You're going to be one of those parents.
Jeez.
Where my son came first. Where's his bloody medal? That loser came sixth and you're rewarding him for trying. It's PC madness, Layden. It's where this country's going wrong. It's where the Black Caps didn't make the final. Sorry, Laura.
Jesus, that just is a came risky, out. That just, is a risky place to
that's
go
still
with me.
A tender wound.
It's 9 o'clock and I've been awake since 2:30. I don't know if you want to go there with me.
And you got up early for nothing.
Not
again,
a bloody.
I'm sorry, this stuff
it keeps
just
comes coming
out.
You need to just reel it back
comes
in.
Comes out. Black Caps lost. In case you've just joined us.
Good.
Soz about it. But good point. You get your husband home tomorrow. The victor of today's last calls is Alice, who tried to be cool on her first day.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
ZM. All right, it's time for international podcast shout-outs. We've got time for a few. Laura's just left us. Laura, the lovely Laura, filling in for Megan.
I'm just actually in the middle of a conversation. You're in this conversation, but you're being a silent partner.
Right.
With our bisexual friend. We're just talking about pass cards.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah
that's right. Because
you would have heard this already on the podcast, we had Gabriel Mack, Harvey Specter.
Yes.
And on the show, pass card. Other pass cards that have been mentioned, Fassbender.
Okay.
And Idris Elba.
Oh, okay.
I've not discussed
pass
cards.
Right, because it's not a possibility?
Yeah, I had this incident with a past girlfriend where we sorted out our pass cards.
Yeah.
And this was going back a bit. Mine was Jessica Alba.
Okay.
And then every year you got to reevaluate the pass cards, and I changed my pass card to her sister.
Oh, right.
And obviously cashed it. No, I didn't. That's
right.
An old joke that I've always really quite liked.
I had a pass card with my old girlfriend, and hers was Dave Dobbin. And because he's a local celebrity, like it was a shoo-in for her.
Look at how long ago was this?
Whereas my one
you're
was
not old enough to have ever dated someone whose pass card was Dave fucking Dobbin.
Pass card was Dave
That's
Dobbin.
That's like saying my girlfriend's pass card was James from the Feelers. Is trying to get a new partner when their pass card's shit. That would be a good phoner. James, Caitlin, write that down. When was your partner's pass card rubbish?
Yeah.
Like shittest partner pass cards.
You write that down?
That's a good one.
Also just put in tomorrow. Put in tomorrow show feedback. We just recorded this before. We should play the unedited version now.
Now, because this is the podcast, we're going to play the unedited version tomorrow. Oh, this is another great reason to be a friend of the show, family of the show.
You get to know all the little secrets
podcast
of the show.
Podcast cousins. We've got the show secret that we've not yet said.
Not on the radio.
Everybody knows.
But we still don't say it in the podcast.
No.
It's fun when people are trying to figure it out.
Yes, a lot of fun. But this happened. We received a text message. Should I say what the text message said? The text message said, this came at 20 past 9 on Thursday.
Let's just do a little disclaimer. Sorry,
you're
eating
about
my
to
lunch.
Hear some disgusting language.
You are. No, you're not beeping it. No, we're not.
Don't
beep
this.
We want
to. Because these people need to hear exactly. This came in at 20 past 9 in the morning. One, what sort of person is filled with this sort of hatred before morning tea?
Mm.
For, like, yeah. If post-morning tea, I can understand if you sat a little angsty, maybe morning tea wasn't up to scratch.
I feel like this is like, it's like we're on an episode of Celebrities Read Mean Tweets. This is rough.
Except we're not celebrities and this wasn't a tweet.
Yeah, exactly. And I've never seen a celebrity read a mean tweet this bad.
This came in. Why do you guys sound like faggots when you laugh and speak? Fuck off, you queer cunt. Seven. Now, seven was supposed to be an S, I'm assuming.
So that was, we don't normally get that kind of feedback.
No.
Maybe someone might be like, this is a shit. I don't know what you're talking about this way. You just, blah, blah, who blah. Cares?
And you're like, totally, I get your point. Or you might say something without fully thinking about it. And you're like, no, I totally get your point. It might have come across as sexist or something, but that was in no way intended. But this one, I mean, there was no misunderstanding that. That was non-specific and very, so we rang him.
Speaking.
Hi, Reese. It's Fletch, Vaughan, and Laura here, just calling from the official ZM feedback line. Wondering how we could sound less like faggot when we laugh and speak before we fuck off like queer cunts. Hello, Reese. Hello, Reese.
Oh, doesn't have a lot to say
Reese
now.
Reese is a coward.
Pussy.
Reese is a shit-talking coward. Right, okay. I don't think we're ringing back. Maybe we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. I think he might have been cut off.
Sorry, your phone doesn't seem to be working.
Pissed off.
Race.
Race. Race.
Race.
Race.
Race. It's just if you're going to text someone that sort of thing, you've got to be willing to follow it up with how we can improve ourselves.
Back it up.
You've got to be willing.
So that happened.
That happened just before.
I'm going to edit. I'm going to beep.
You'll
all the words
out. Very heavily edited version of that on the show tomorrow.
Maybe quite early. Put that in
also,
the planner.
Also, that word, I don't mind being called a c**, to be totally honest. I've been, you know, that's
called
bad.
Worse.
But
yeah.
If the F-A-G-G-O-T-S word, it is just absolutely repulsive.
He sounded like a homophobic mechanic.
Oh, I don't want to drag every mechanic under that. He definitely had dirty hands, but I don't know if it was like mechanic dirty. Might have just been that he was a
grub. He sounds like a rock listener, let's be honest.
He probably calls Jono and Ben the same thing.
Yeah, he probably does.
Because they're not bloody. You know what? He probably likes Tony Veach. Probably a big fan of Veachy telling
probably,
it how it is.
Probably, exactly.
Probably a huge fan of Veachy's treatment of just about everybody.
And probably a homosexual.
Well,
that's why he's so,
closeted,
you know,
often,
that's what happens, isn't
often
it?
Often some homosexuals I know look back at the angriest stages of their life and realise that they were confused. So maybe that's what Reese is struggling with. We don't know. But on with happier things. I want to get on with a happier.
I'll put on some happy music.
Yeah, well, I could select some music if you want.
No, don't worry. I've done it.
Are you? No?
Do you know I forgot the meat insert for my salad today, mate?
What meat were you hoping to insert?
Like a chicken in a can.
Oh, you forgot
controversial.
That.
Controversial. I know it's controversial.
Yeah, it's so you're just eating leaves now.
Well, and I've got pumpkin and kumara and avocado.
Okay.
So it's all right. It's just
people
not
would
very juicy.
Very easily confuse you for a vegan, though. Like, there's no meat in there.
I'm not one of those.
And you're eating their version of meat, which is like starchy veg.
Yeah.
And you're very anemic looking.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's start off. Seth Tuddy commented, sent a message in. Now, this isn't a podcast shout out. He just said he was at the Carmo Hotel for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And a podcast from 2012 was playing in the kitchen.
Oh.
While they were cooking at the Carmo Hotel.
Okay.
So I feel like I've found my long lost brothers, says Seth.
Oh, nice.
So that's just a shout out to the Carmo Hotel, which I've been through and seen, but I've never stopped at the Carmo Hotel. I've got a lot of time for these little towns up north.
You must do.
I simply must. Let's start with the podcast shout out. Okay.
This isn't one of those.
Samantha Martin. No. It starts with Yoo-hoo. Oh, Yoo-hoo.
Yoo-hoo.
Right. She wrote you and then who as in who? Like question. Yoo-hoo, only me, Samantha Martin. Long time listener. First time podcast shout out requester. I'm asking a podcast shout out for my not so little sister, Hannah Martin. She's decided to leave me and pop out of England and work in a boys' boarding school. She's been over there since January 1st and I miss her like crazy. Yes, Fletch.
Are you allowed to sleep with the 18-year-old ones?
What, like last year?
Yeah.
Oh, because their English school year is different, eh? Like they'll be over halfway through this school year. Theirs goes July to July now. What was that smirk?
Oh, no, just got a message.
What'd it say?
Zach's messaged about...
Oh, that he sent Fassbender's penis. So talking about Michael Fassbender. So James said, Zach, we require a picture of Fassbender's dick ASAP. I was just saying it's one of the biggest Fletcher Vaughan haven't seen it.
Because backstory, just James, the producer, his gay BFF, Zach, who's also our BFF, who's lovely.
And was like, did you marry him at the weekend? Because Carl and Zach Fletcher did submit a joint photo to the weather.
No, it's just a joke. With also friend of the show, Maddie McLean, he got us on the weather and said we're a married couple. James, you flattered with him, and he told you, this is how it started, that Michael Fassbender has a giant penis. Hang on, why can't I hear you? Oh, wrong channel. Go again.
Zach's just really good with celebrity penises. It's okay. A thing that he used to...
It's his forte.
He used to basically have this thing where we'd be watching a film, and he'd be like, oh, I haven't seen his one, and he'd Google it and see if he could find one. It was like a fun game. It was like a fun, cute game. And because of that, he'd show me and I'd be like, oh, cool, thanks. Not my thing, but, you know, all good. I can appreciate
I totally agree with you.
Yeah,
penises aren't
your jam.
A sexual interest. They are definitely not my jam. I'm interested platonically.
Yeah, it's intriguing.
Yeah.
Well, so you can say,
weighing up.
Is it so you can say I've got a bigger penis than A-list celebrity?
It's seldom that happens for me.
Very seldom. Me too. Very seldom.
Especially when there's celebrities like Fassbender.
You know that app that Kim Kardashian uses for touch-ups and skinnying and stuff? Can you use that to, like, if you talk
I'm sure if you're good with Photoshop or, you know, InDesign or one of those ones like that, you can...
Oh, here it is.
It's coming. Everyone, over. Have a look.
He's got lots of pubes. This is on Tumblr. Yeah.
I'm just going to click on that.
Okay, listen to Caitlin getting all...
That was it's creepy as shit, Caitlin.
I mean, that's quite a long penis, isn't
it?
A lot of pubes.
Yeah, but where does it start?
Well,
because he might have a low-hanging gooch, so it literally might be poking straight out from the pubes. I don't know if there's any hang hidden in that pube.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's an important meeting going on behind me, and all I've got is on my computer laptop
and
screen.
And me. Anyway, so that's that.
That's okay, Fassbender's.
Moving on to bigger things.
Fassbender's-penis-appeared-and.tumblr.com. I mean, come on. You've got to work for these things a little bit. So from there on, it's...
Has he sent another one? Oh, what? He's just taking a leak and the paparazzi are in his face.
Maybe. Okay, he's a double-hander. He's taking a wheeze. Two hands.
Oh, Zachary.
All right, back to podcast shout-outs. We rudely interrupted Hannah and Samantha's shout-out to talk about Fassbender's junk. She's been over this since January 1st, miss her like crazy. Weird, I know, but we actually like each other now. We're those siblings. When she was home, we used to sit in our rooms, both listen to the podcast, and once they had finished, we'd discuss our favourite parts. Although it would seem more convenient to listen together, the sound of her breathing annoyed me too much, so we had to listen separately. I'm one of those oh-so-yucky personal trainers, #Fitspo, #squat till the butthole pops. That's a retro fitness reference. This has proved her worth. So your podcast being a lifesaver wakes me up and gets me through a shitty early morning wake up, #feel your pain. I'm off on holiday to Fiji on March 21st, which she's going to be back now. So wish me luck, and thoughts of postponing did come up after the hurricane, but however, YOLO, I love holidays. Ta-ta to my friends. I have so much common with each of you. Fletch, our Fitzbo, is our common thread.
Ooh,
Vaughn,
brilliant.
I'm the annoying one who craves attention too, although that's not, like, that's actually a bit mean to say.
Okay.
I'm the annoying one. That was okay.
Megan,
my addiction to shopping is real. Caitlin, I live within 5 minutes from my parents and both grandparents, so commune feeling is real. And James, my sisters are pretty banging too, but I've got the ugly sisters feels. Love you all from Samantha, who I'm sure is just an absolute treat on the Ocular.
Love it. That reminds me. Can I just do this? Siri, set a reminder to call Dad at 5:30 p.m. tonight. Yep, no, absolutely.
Mind you.
Why is your Siri a man?
I don't know. I bought this phone. It became a man. I used to have the girl Siri.
This phone automatically made it a man.
Dad's birthday today.
Yeah, I was going to say, Papa, it's your Fletcher. Dad's birthday, isn't it? Well done on remembering
also
that.
An ex-boo's birthday today. How awkward is that?
I saw that.
Yeah. I know, still friends on Facebook.
Unfriend that person now.
Yeah. Oh, you're always unfriend on their birthday.
I've got a courier package.
James isn't going to do it. He's got a lot of editing.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. I wouldn't. That gives me something to do after these. Danielle Fredrickson writes, Dear Megan, Caitlin, James, Fletch, and Vaughn. And then she includes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 pictures of waffling, of waffles. And then says, I hope this wasn't too much waffling on for Fletch.
No, you're all good.
That's a good effort there. Lots of love. P.S. I totally know the show secret. Wink, wink, yes. From Danielle Fredrickson.
It's out there, isn't it?
All those waffles
like
are now
bad secret.
Deleted. They've been in there for a long time. Nina Christie, hello. Unsure of where to send the IPSOs, but I'll give this a crack, and it has worked for you, Nina. Requesting an international podcast shout-out for my friend Kirsty in Christchurch. Kirsty recently got engaged to the love of her life in Fiji on Valentine's Day. Bracket, not jealous, end bracket. Super excited for them both. I want to say congratulations to them. I'm currently in Europe and will be here for another couple of months, so sadly I'll miss her engagement party. Thought it was fitting to say congratulations on here, as Kirsty was the one who got me addicted to the podcast while we were both suffering our way through university. Although we have since both dropped out, yay for ambition.
Fair enough.
As previously mentioned, I'm in Europe, more specifically Aberystwyth. In Wales. Ooh. Sorry, there's no phonetic way to spell that. It's a f***ed up town. And we're rambling our way through cash jobs. My boyfriend is playing rugby, and we're living above a Welsh pub, which has just destroyed our bank accounts and our livers. I wanted to say thank you for your efforts on the podcast, as they help the homesickness when I'm in bed listening to the rain falling on my Welsh roof, scrolling through everybody's summer pics on Instagram. You guys are tops. Lots of love from a funny named place in Wales, and an extra love to Kirsty and Pete in the beginning of the rest of their lives together. XOXO. P.S. I can't understand how people can be avid podcast listeners but not know the show secret. Make it public or not, whatever. You do you, boo. Snaps fingers in Beyonce-style manner. K-bye from Nina. Bridget Jones is next. Where's Caitlin?
The diary.
Where's Caitlin?
Where's Caitlin?
She loves Bridget Jones.
Is it because
she's our Bridget Jones?
Is it because we've got a sad single female story relation?
Yeah. No, it's Bridget Jones. She loves Bridget Jones. She was talking about Bridget Jones. She was angry at the boss for not watching Bridget Jones' Diaries.
Oh, right, okay.
Dear Fletch, Vaughn, Megan, and of course hello to producers 1 and 2. I'm writing this prior to departing from my travels because, as everyone knows, you're bloody useless at keeping up with these. I'm writing this from my bed in Christchurch, and it's the same week that you guys are headed to Wild Foods Festival, where I'm sure you're going to have a wonderful time.
That was amazing.
Better get on it before we lose Fletch. My international podcast shout out goes to the one and only Yana Tomic. Feel free to say that in a louder voice. Yana Tomic has quit a full-time job, and I'm 3 weeks away from finishing my master's degree on the 8th of May. Yana and I are embarking on an eagerly awaited epic adventure to Southeast Asia. We're backpacking from Thailand, Myanmar, Laos, Cambodia, Vietnam, and the Philippines for 3 months, and we're bloody excited.
That would be amazing. I'd love
to have to rush would be good.
I've heard the Philippines have some amazing beaches as well, and it would be cheap too.
Yeah, the Philippines.
Yeah, I've heard amazing.
My friend Kim's been to the Philippines. She loves it.
Right, okay.
Super cheap.
Right.
Okay. As good as anywhere in Southeast Asia. I have to tell you guys off, though, because not long ago you had a segment on the show where you got people to call in about ending up hating someone who they went on holiday with, and I was hoping Yana wouldn't listen, but of course she did, and she panicked. Anyway, Fletch, do you have any suggestions for fun and neat activities while we are away? Perhaps just in Cambodia and Vietnam, as they're going to be towards the end of our 3 months, and who knows where we will be by the time you read this out. Smiley, pokey, pooey, tongue out face.
All we did was Siem Reap in Cambodia when we went for
World
Vision.
Yeah, we didn't do a lot in Cambodia because we were there on a mission.
But amazing ruins and temples and stuff.
Oh, yeah, my ankle. What?
The circus was cool in Siem Reap. We went to that. Cool. It's a lot of drinking there, though, isn't it?
Party street.
I definitely do. Do they mention Vietnam? Are they going to do?
Vietnam.
You've got to do Ha Long Bay. I never got to go. I got close, but there was a monsoon, so it got cancelled.
James, you've been to Southeast Asia. You spent like a
month
there.
Oh, he loves that.
Yep.
What would you recommend?
I think Vietnam is by far the best country. Fletch hated
Hanoi.
It.
Oh, Hanoi. I didn't get to
go
to Ha Long Bay.
Yeah, it was bad weather for you.
I was Vietnam, in Hanoi for a week.
Vietnam is so cool. I went to Hanoi for a bit and did Ha Long Bay, and that was awesome. You can do like a back. One of the backpackers called Hanoi Backpackers Vietnam, which is like a super basic name, does a tour and takes you straight out to Ha Long Bay, and you get to stay on this awesome island called Castaway Island. And then the other place in there was called Hoi An. Did you go there? Hoi An.
No, I've heard of that.
It's like halfway down, and it's like the best place.
Hoi An sauce.
Yeah.
Like Hoi An Source. Yeah, it's where they make the sauce.
Yeah, we rode a little, we took a bus to Hui and then rode motorbikes down from there, and it was awesome.
Did you go to Thailand?
Yeah, just for a filming party though. I spent like a week there.
Piece of advice would be, if you go to Thailand, don't go to Phuket. It's disgusting.
I mean,
it's filthy.
Pass through.
I think you have to fly in near to it. Maybe spend one night and just have a look.
The islands though, the islands like Koh Tao and Phi Phi. Koh Tao. Phi Phi's the best.
Yeah, Koh Phi is the best island, full stop. Koh Samui is all right. It's pretty big, but Koh Phangan's really good.
But 4 months, like, goodbye to your liver and hello to addiction to a lot of sleeping pills and Ritalin. Like, you're like, just be careful.
Yeah, be very wise. Be wise with how you use your bodily functions. While I'm here, she goes on to say, Caitlin, this shout out is to Brigitte Jones, like Bridget Jones with the diary.
Also, what just listening. Came for us that you went through? You went. She's gone through our mail.
What was that?
Well, ferret through
our
bags.
It's cat food.
Oh, I've got a cat.
Oh, my God. When am I going to announce my big announcement?
I think you should tell
there's
the family.
There's no cat food for you.
I'm going to tell the family.
Oh, you should tell the podcast family.
I have locked in a British blue male kitten. And so I've got to wait about another 11 weeks.
Cat on order. Mm. Finally.
It's so exciting. Okay,
I'm going to carry on then.
I'm going to be a babysitter, Vaughn. I'm going to be number one babysitter of
cat.
The cat. Oh, cat sitter.
Cat sitter.
Is this Kitten for sitter. Us?
It's not for you.
Who is it for?
Laura and one for you for Anakin.
Because like, I don't have a cat. Oh my God, it's Farina. It's a good shit.
Oh, that's my cat. Well, just, he's but a shit.
You've got a big bag.
Do
it says Lulu and Jemima, but those are Laura's cats.
Lulu's my dog.
Oh, you got some for Lulu.
Oh, that's good.
Did they email you and ask
No,
about
who
animals?
Is it?
Weird.
Friskies.
No, Purina, and Purina. It's addressed to your actual animals.
Oh, okay, lovely.
That's great. When I get a cat, I'm going to lock in some Purina sponsorship.
Bridget Jones, if we could get back to Bridget Jones, Caitlin. We're doing a shout out to Bridget Jones.
Yeah, like my diary. Girlfriend.
While I'm here, I'm going to take the opportunity to say in front of the whole podcast family that Yana is one of the best people I know. Even though I only met her a year ago, it feels like we've been friends forever. I'll let you know if we make it through this messy... I'll let you know if we go through a messy breakup while on our trip. Our friendship constantly blossoms over the consuming of and talking about food. She's always out for a good laugh. Couldn't have picked a better person to have booked a trip to Southeast Asia with before actually thinking it through. Sorry, I know this is long, but I'll wrap it up and make a second shout out to our homeboy, Josh Nightingale. Josh is a top dog engineer, best handyman, good at car stuff, all-around epic flatmate, and probably going to make a bloody good husband.
Oh,
read ahead.
That's nice.
Vaughn, I am putting you on the spot here. Seeing as I'm out of the country, can you please, on my behalf, make an official marriage proposal from myself to Josh? Thanks. I want to make it romantic and just forceful enough that he can't say no. Okay, bye now. Okay. I've just... That subtly reading that was probably quite like forceful, a little bit passag. Josh, will you marry Bridget Jones? This is such a Bridget Jones thing to do. You
it
can imagine
is.
Josh is there... The Colin Firth, more than the Hugh Grant. The reliable one. The engineer, the fixer-upper, the handyman to have around. The one that really understands her. Maybe she prematurely friend-zoned him because she was her eye was caught by the Hugh Grant of the flat. Well, let that all be taken back now, Josh. She is after you. Eyes on the prize. She watches you in the shower. She's got a small webcam set up.
Yeah.
It's motion-activated.
Will you marry her?
Will you marry her? If not, she's going to put diddle pics all over the internet. Okay, bye now, says Bridget. No compliments for any of you, but if you each think of your most complimented compliment, then chances are that's what I would have said. P.S. We know the show's secret.
Oh,
shame
God.
On everyone that doesn't. By the way, we think it's fantastic. Much love to you all. Bridget Jones. Yes, my name is Bridget Jones. I shit you not. Yeah, we caught on to that. You're probably quite sick of us going on about it by the time. Yeah. Next up is Kelly Q... Luvu.
Last one, James, because James has got a lot. We've got a lot to do after
How
this.
How are you going for
what,
time?
Editing.
Well, that makes sense. Dear Fletch, Vaughn, and Megan, my name is Kelly Luvu, and I'd like to request an IPSO as I'm travelling across Europe for 5 weeks with my husband. I'm hoping if I send this early, there might be a slight chance you read this out before we get back to New Zealand in mid-April. Guess what?
It's happening.
Nailed it. I've got this weird last name as I married my exotic Zimbabwean husband last Saturday.
Oh.
Megan, if she's there, high five for the jungle fever. Ndlovu means elephant in Zulu. Needless to say, we played Toto's Africa at our wedding.
Yes.
This is a shout out for me and new husband, Sipo. And we are doing the honeymoon straight after the wedding thing through Glasgow, London, Amsterdam, Paris, Barcelona, Nice, Nice?
Yeah, that's how it's said.
Good, thank you. Mm-hmm. Italy, and finally finishing off in Santorini. I have waited for a long time for an opportunity to send in an IPSO. The last time I was overseas, I believe you were all doing your gardens.
Garden leave.
At home.
That's so good. We almost just want to go back to that shitty company to come back.
To come back
so
again.
So that we have another 6 months
garden
off.
Garden leave there, garden leave on the way back. Get your garden leave. Get your garden leave. She asks, she puts forward her hypotheses for the show Secret. And the conclusion to your method showing is yes.
Okay.
Correct hypotheses. Sorry for waffling on. Compliment to finish. Megan Braga, I'm on point. Megan's not here. Laura's filling in. Laura's not here either, but both have great eyebrows. Vaughn, cute kids. I hope my future offspring... you give me hope for my future offspring. That makes me sound ugly. That's a bit mean. Fingers crossed they're as cute. Fletch, I already called you the star of the show that she did.
Yeah, no.
Your annoying laugh. Shout out Ellie's Babeses. And there's a photo of them on their wedding day. And they look just absolutely lovely. I'd love my last name to mean elephant in some language. That'd be great. I tell you what, we're not doing too bad with the old international podcast shout outs. We're still a little bit behind, but we've definitely caught up. Good to take a chunk out of them. Those are today's international podcast shout outs. As always, we encourage any communications with the show, good, bad, or if you're going to call us those words that guy called us at the start. However, if you are going to, you've got to be willing to back it up.
Yeah,
don't be a coward when we call you back to see what's happening. Love to you all. I don't believe anyone in the podcast family will ever speak to anybody in that manner. We're all lovely people, and we don't use that F word because it's disgusting.
It is. All right.
Those are today's international podcast shout outs. Have a lovely evening, and we'll catch you back as soon as you listen to the next podcast.
Kaki tan.
That was the Fletch, Vaughn, and Megan podcast. For more, listen from 6 on ZM.
And check them out on Facebook.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn, and Megan.